Here's the thing about adventure. It's never going to come knocking on your door. You got to get out there and track it down. And there's no better way to find it than behind the wheel of a 2024 Toyota Tacoma. With trail-hungry power, legendary capability, and head-turning style, the Tacoma is not for the sedentary. 326 horsepower, 465 pound-feet of torque. And with all the toughness you could ask for, the Toyota Tacoma is the adventure you've been missing. Toyota, let's go places.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Star! Fabian Zetterlund on a one-time pass. Flips the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. A spectacular rush from end to end. By Mikael Granlund.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Here comes Granlund taking the handoff from CeCe, skating the center. Oh, across the line, just barely onside. Celebrini moving in, shooting it. He scores! Mecklen Celebrini is surrounded by a gaggle of Sharks men in teal as a kid from Vancouver, BC, by way of the Junior Sharks, gets the game winner in overtime on a pass from Mikael Granlund. Sharks 5, Red Wings 4, and SAP Center is in a state of ecstasy.
Oh, it's fun to win one in overtime. I mean, we've been on the wrong side of it a couple times, so it was nice to get that win.
Yeah, I thought we deserved to win the hockey game. I thought for the majority of the game, we pushed the pace and we took over some parts of the third period that we've been talking about all year, really. That was our identity. And come out there through the third period, which was good to see, and we just stuck with it. You know, things are going to go wrong in the game. There's going to be bad bounces, there's going to be a bad call, whatever the situation is. We got to continue to play, you know, with our identity and just continue to play and never give up. And credit to the guys that, you know, we're starting to believe in that, starting to feel that and understand that. So for us to get rewarded, it's good, really good.
All right, good morning, everyone. What is happening? We are waking up winners after the San Jose Sharks overtime win against Detroit last night. Mecklen Celebrini with the game winner. Mackenzie Blackwood with another remarkable performance. I thought that William Eklund was absolutely brilliant. Tyler Toffoli, Luke Cunning, Alex Wenberg, just great performances across the board. But I felt like more than anything else, last night was a glimpse at the future of San Jose and really the entirety of the day, because on the one hand, you had Vitek Vanacek being declared as out for, you know, at least tonight's game or last night's game, I should say. So that brought up Yaroslav Askarov, who is seen as a pillar of the future of the franchise. He's the big offseason acquisition that San Jose was able to get by way of a trade that turned the assets acquired from the Tomas Hertl trade into Yaroslav Askarov. You had Will Smith and Mecklen Celebrini just buzzing all night long, creating opportunities, making things happen. The two of them are laughing together, having fun on the bench. Everyone across the board is having fun in this game. You had William Eklund playing like a star in the NHL, reminding you more and more that he is a star in the NHL. You had Tyler Toffoli coming through with another big game for him. You had everything that you would want out of a winning performance. You had the ability to respond to adversity early in the game and get yourself back into it. You had the ability to make sure that your top-level talents were finding the times and ability to perform. You had just everything you need when we've looked at other teams across the NHL in the last couple of seasons. Well, the Sharks have been getting beat up on. And that's not to say that this is some woe is me and finally the Sharks have arrived. No, they haven't arrived. But there were glimpses last night of what they are trying to turn themselves into, what they are trying to become. And whether it's Mikael Granlund making huge plays or Fabian Zetterlund knowing just how to time things, it's fun to watch right now. And that's the aspect that I feel like we're getting with San Jose right now, that since the 28th of October, this is a completely different team. They are 6-3-2 in that time frame. They are getting points in the majority of games. They are finding ways back into games in which they get behind. I mean, for the San Jose Sharks, I felt like previously it took miracle comebacks or just an otherwise perfect game for them to get a win. Last night's game was in no way, shape, or form perfect. They fell behind early in a play that was very much against the run of play. They had to respond to deficits on multiple occasions. They were not able to hold on to their lead. The game went to overtime. They gave up multiple power play goals. Their kill was not as good as it had been. They were not perfect. It didn't take an incredible comeback, but they always had the answers for what the opposition was bringing. They were always able to step up to the moment. And in big moments, you had players developed by your franchise making big, big plays. William Eklund coming through with a big, big goal two times in this game. Macklin Celebrini coming up with a game winner in overtime. Those are players that you drafted. Now, yes, you can say, well, Ted, we knew they were going to be big. They weren't going to be, you know, late rounders that are surprising everyone. But hey, you still had the ability to draft them. You still went out and drafted them. You're still making good on your rebuild plan. You're still making good on what you set out to do. And again, this is all a view of the future because it's going to be more than William Eklund and Macklin Celebrini on the score sheet. We are going to see more of Will Smith out there, who was phenomenal throughout the entirety of the game. We're going to see more from a Yaroslav Askarov in the future, one would imagine. You're going to see more and more of these players. You know, we're going to see Colin Graf. We are going to see Quentin Musty. We're going to see Sam Dickinson, and so on and so forth. You know, this is just the cusp of what the rebuild is. Right now, we're at the start of it. You know, it really was completed, I think many would feel, with the trade of Tomas Hertl. But right now, you're watching this team build back in the right direction and give you the type of performance that I think everyone should be proud of and I think everyone should be intrigued by. And one of the things that really struck me throughout the game was just watching Will Smith and Macklin Celebrini buzzing, creating plays. You felt to yourself, they're going to break through at some point. One of them is going to get a goal. One of them is going to get an assist. You saw them just laughing and having fun on the bench. And that was the most staggering thing to me, was that this was not a, oh my God, look at us, we're 18 and 19 years old playing in the NHL against legends like Patrick Kane. This was them feeling confident and like they had the ability to make things happen. That is so cool to see. I can't get enough of that, to watch them have that same mentality that I saw previously with the Oakland A's back in 1999 and 2000 back. And I know that some of you can remember they're young, but they can play ad campaign. Those were the vibes that I was getting last night. And I've made previously that in terms of, you know, the young players they have on their roster and the excitement that there is to see them, it is very similar to where the San Francisco Giants were in 08 and 09 and where the Warriors were back in 2012, when you just had, you know, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes and all those guys, where you're just thinking, hey, there's something pretty cool building here right now. And I think that's also, you know, part of the vibe that you're watching with San Jose. You look at this team and you think, there's something pretty cool building here right now. And that just makes it all the more fun. That just makes it all the more worthwhile for everyone, because instead of being told about the future message, instead of being told about what the Sharks are going to be, they are starting to be that. They are starting to show those signs of the identity that Mike Greer wanted to see, of what you have been told the team would be in a few years. And that's not to say that this team is there yet, but you're starting to see glimpses. You're starting to see more of the essence of what the San Jose Sharks are trying to be. Because, you know, while we celebrate Jumbo this week, Jumbo was one of those guys who brought an incredible amount of joy to the rink. He brought it everywhere he went with him. From everyone that I've been talking to, whether it's been Brent Burns, whether it's been Jonathan Becker, whether it's been Doug Wilson, whether it's been Mark Purdy, everyone talks about the joy and the reality and the authenticity of what Joe Thornton brought to the rink, whether it was game day, whether it was practice, whether whatever it was, that was always there. And that's what I felt last night watching Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith together on the bench. And right now, to see these two develop in real time, all the while you're watching William Eklund as an actualizing star in the NHL, and Mikhail Granlund continue to perform at an incredibly high level, and Tyler Toffoli, he's back on a heater. It's all indicative of where this team is heading, and there are still going to be tough times ahead. There's still going to be bad losses. All these things are part of the narrative, but now we're starting to get that true view of the future, and that makes it seem all the more close than it was previously. Now, Macklin Celebrini in and of himself is better than advertised. That's the one thing that I keep on coming back to, is that when Macklin Celebrini was touted all last year, and I saw the highlights, I was not able to watch him to the same extent that I am now, but the overall you know, kind of narrative on him was, well, he's good, but he's not as good as Connor Bedard. And now I'm watching Macklin Celebrini and I'm thinking, you know, this kid is better than advertised. This kid is better than people said he was going to be. He is a more advanced product than they said he was going to be. He is a more skilled player than they said he was going to be. He is a more complete player than they said he was going to be. And I'm only talking about year number one. I have no idea what he will end up being as a finished product in the NHL. And I don't know that any athlete is ever truly a finished product. I just think there are athletes who are constantly evolving their game and they figure out different ways to go about their business over the course of their NHL careers. But when I look at Macklin Celebrini last night, I am not seeing a player that is a quote unquote less than or not as good as compared to any other product that I've seen recently in the NHL. He is special. And guys, he's played in 8 games right now in his NHL career, and he has 4 goals. If we extrapolate that over an 82-game season, that's a 40-plus goal pace. That is remarkable for a player who is 18 years and a few months old. He is, you know, he should be a freshman in college, or, you know, depending on how the timeline works out, he could have been a senior in high school. This is just the very start for Macklin Celebrini. He is only going to be better from here on out. He is only going to be smarter. He is only going to be more experienced. He is only going to be a better player from this point. And again, he's better than advertised. I think that everybody saw what his skill level was at the end of his collegiate career, but he's better than what he was at that point. He is already making strides. He's a better physical specimen than he was at that point. He's just better overall, and watching it game after game now, it's very, not alarming, but it's very telling that he's better than what they said he would be. And again, I'm not trying to say that he's quote-unquote better than a Bedard. He might be. I haven't seen them go head-to-head as of yet, but it's hard not to notice how eye-popping and impactful he already is at this stage of his career. Now, William Eklund, I remember when he first came up at the start of the 21-22 season, and then he got sent back to the Swedish Hockey League, and there was anger about that from him. And then, you know, the next year, 22-23, we got more of a look at him. And then he had the injury. Then 23-24, his first NHL season, we saw exactly what he was capable of being. And now, you know, towards the end of the year, everyone was talking about him, you know, being a star in the NHL. And then lately and throughout the majority of this season, he has played like a star in the NHL. He's been getting points consistently. And, you know, now the message seems to be to telling him to shoot more and more often. And so watching William Eklund play at that high level, watching him come through with 2 goals, I know we had visions of straw hat tricks in our heads as he got those first 2 relatively early on, but that's what stars do. They impact games. They come through with big plays. They come through with big moments, and it's a testament to the Sharks' overall ability to develop talent, because this was not something that they had to do for a long time. You know, we saw that Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl were able to develop, but those were players that we're talking about. They came in a while ago, right? Like, these were not, you know, recent guys with the San Jose Sharks, but you've seen them develop William Eklund. They understand how to manage his talent. They gave him the opportunities and they watched him thrive. And now you're seeing him perform at such a high level in the NHL. It's a whole lot of fun. I look at everything that we see from William Eklund and enjoy it day in, day out. And he plays with a lot of joy in his game. He's having fun. He's having a great time with Fabian Zetterlund, who's coming by in the background of his presser last night and screaming something in Swedish, and, you know, reminded me of the end of the year press conference last year when a similar situation went down. You know, it shows you that these guys are friends on and off the ice. And that's something that we get to see with a Macklin Celebrini and a Will Smith. Like, you want these guys to have those relationships. And, you know, not to keep on flashing back to this, but I was talking to Brent Burns yesterday, and he was talking about his friendship with Joe Thornton and, you know, the fun they would have and just, you know, going out and experiencing life together. And that's what I'm getting now from the San Jose Sharks. Those vibes that align with the stories we're hearing from Sharks legends of yesteryear. Not that Brent Burns' career is over or anything like that, but the era of the San Jose Sharks he's talking about is over. And it's interesting to watch these things happen in real time. It's interesting to see them occur while we're looking at the product happen out there on the ice. And it's just, again, it's a glimpse of the overall future where William Eklund is just a little bit ahead of the pace of where Macklin Celebrini is right now. Macklin Celebrini is coming on strong. Will Smith is coming on strong. You're watching Fabian Zetterlund, you know, just be a better and better player seemingly week after week. And then you've got, you know, your goalie of the future that gets called up due to injury. It's exciting. The excitement is palpable. No one can deny it. And then Mackenzie Blackwood in the game put forth another high-quality performance. And now you're thinking, well, Ted, there were, you know, four goals given up. Well, one of them was an own goal, and two of them were on the power play. So I'm going to take that performance for Mackenzie Blackwood any day of the week. If those are the only ways the three out of four of those goals are being scored, then yeah, Mackenzie Blackwood is doing his job, and he's giving you a chance to win every single time that he takes the net. Now, the question of Vitek Vanacek, whether or not he's going to be playing on this upcoming road trip, Ryan Warsowski said at the end of the game that he was day-to-day, but you know, right now that is that's an unknown. So whether or not we get to see Yaroslav Askarov, we don't know, but at this point he is up with the San Jose Sharks, and so I think that, you know, lends itself to some of the excitement that we are feeling about the franchise. But we look at the production across the lines yesterday for San Jose, although the line of Barclay Goodrow, Will Smith, and Macklin Celebrini did not get a regulation goal. You did see Macklin score a goal, and you also got a goal from the fourth line with Luke Cunning. You also got a goal from the third line with Tyler Toffoli. You also got a goal from the top line, two of them from William Eklund. But if we look at the production across the board last night, Wennberg had 2 points. Eklund had 2 goals, 2 points. Granlund had an assist and a point. Toffoli had a goal and a point. CeCe had an assist, 1 point. Wallman, an assist, 1 point. Cunning, 1 goal, 1 point. Grundstrom, 1 assist, 1 point. Ferraro, 1 assist, 1 point. Zetterlin, 1 assist, 1 point. Delandria, 1 assist, 1 point. Thrun, 1 assist, 1 point. Celebrini, a goal, 1 point. I mean, that is balanced production across the lines. The Sharks had their best performance of the year in terms of eliminating their opponent's shots on goal. The Red Wings only had 20. The Sharks had 34. The Sharks won the faceoff. They did lose the special teams battle. That's one thing that is a negative out of last night's game. But coming into the game, we knew that Detroit was one of the top five teams on the power play in the league. And also, I give the Sharks the credit. When they were on the power play, they did score one goal. And if the Sharks scored on every one of every four power plays over the course of the season, they would be a very, very good team. So I'm not going to complain too much about it. They did win a power play, but you know, they also out-hit 22-13. They blocked more shots, 12-11. The San Jose Sharks were rolling all lines, all players, the overall, you know, commitment from everybody out there on the ice. I think that's the thing that I'm paying attention to out of the entirety of this game. So, you know, it is impressive to watch. And I often go back to the response to adversity from San Jose because, you know, Henry Thrun, he's on the bad end of a play where there's a own goal. That wasn't his fault. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, but he responded well to it. You know, early on, the Sharks had the overall control of the game, and they gave up a goal against the run of play. They didn't falter in that moment. They stepped up to the moment. If you look at, you know, shortly thereafter, they go down 2-1. Well, they respond once again. And then you get later into the game, they've got a 4-3 lead late. They give up a goal. The game goes overtime. They don't let that deflate them. They simply respond to the moment and play a big game of hockey and walk through with a Macklin Celebrini game winner. That is a testament to where they have come from last year and where they are now. They were not able to do this a year ago, or if they did, it was seemingly random and you never had any idea of where it was going to come from. Now we're seeing performances from the Sharks that we can almost have a relatively solid idea of what they're going to be from one game to the next, and this is a team that is still learning themselves. I mean, we look at the team in their start 0-7-2 and all the corrections that they have made from that point. This is almost an entirely different team out there on the ice, but that's how it should be. You should watch them respond to the moments. You should watch them be able to respond to adversity. You should watch them be able to manage game situations, because that's what good teams in the NHL do. They are not always going to be in the lead. They are not always going to have things go to plan. They are not always going to be able to have the, you know, right answer in the moment. Of course, they're going to lose more games. It's not like they're going to win the remainder of the year and be in the Stanley Cup final. But what we're watching right now is they're giving themselves a chance in the majority of the games. And they never had a stretch last year that was this extended where they kept on giving themselves a chance, where they kept on finding their way into the game. That is new. That was not a part of their narrative a year ago or 2 years ago. And, you know, it was a brutal teardown. I think anybody who watched the Sharks for the last couple of years can acknowledge it was tough to go through. But, you know, right now things are pointing in the right direction. And again, the fun that everybody's having. Fun has returned to the San Jose Sharks. Fun has returned to the building at SAP Center. And before, not that there was ever a sense of dread before the next game, but now there's more of a sense of intrigue of what are they going to do in tonight's game? How are they going to respond to the moments as they come? How are they going to get themselves back into a game? What's going to happen when they get down? How exciting are they going to make it? That's Sharks hockey right now. That's a thrilling, compelling product that people want to take in. And the social media coverage. Guess what? Outlets that never talk about the San Jose Sharks, they're putting stuff on social media about the San Jose Sharks. How about that? How about that? All right, let's hear some highlights, some Dan Ruzanowski out of last night's game. William Eklund, after the Sharks fell down 1-0, came through for San Jose.
Eklund carries behind the goal, centering feed, centering the chance. I'm not sure what happened with that, but I think it might have gone off the post. Rebound behind the net, sent back toward the point. Now it's Wennberg shooting it to traffic, save, poke, score! William Eklund is there for the rebound, and he rams it in, ending an eight-game goalless drought. The Sharks have tied it up 1-1, and Eklund is jubilant.
That made it a 1-1 game. Marco Kasper, late in the first period, scores to give the Red Wings a 2-1 lead. But then just about 6 minutes into the second, it was William Eklund again.
Fabian's got it back. He waits for everybody to come onside. He's going to have to cycle back because Granlund was ahead of the play. Now here comes Eklund down the left into the zone. Tees up and shoots. Score! What a shot from about 60 feet out by William Eklund right after the zone entry. It bounced off of the glove hand of Talbot, went over it, and wafted its way into the net. So Eklund's got two goals. He now has four on the season, and this baby is tied up 2-2.
So it's 2-2 at this point. Then you have the own goal that makes it a 3-2 lead in favor of the Detroit Red Wings. And then it's Tyler Toffoli scoring his third goal in the last two games.
In front of the net, Toffoli shoots, score! Sharks break into the zone off the faceoff. Wennberg sets up Toffoli, and Tyler Toffoli's got a hot hand. Two goals in Pittsburgh, and now he's got another one here at home at SAP Center, and that ties the game 3-3 with 41.8 seconds to go in the second period.
So the Sharks keep on coming up with responses. They keep on coming up with answers. They've got a 3-3 game at this point. 6:19 into the third, Luke Cunning gives San Jose a 4-3 lead.
So they bring it all the way back into Sharks territory, and Luke Cunning will take the draw here against JT Comfer of Detroit. Left side of Blackwood. That's a nice forehand faceoff win there for Cunning. And the Sharks able to lift one out and grabbing it down. Grunstrom across the line. Lead pass. Cunning moves and shoots. He scores! Luke Cunning wins the faceoff, and then a nice give and go. And he snaps it top corner, and the Sharks are up 4-3 with 6:19 gone by in the third.
But every time a team had a response in this game, the other team had a response in this game. So we then see a late goal with 2 minutes and 6 seconds left. Alex DeBrincat makes it 4-4. Now we're in overtime for San Jose. Macklin Celebrini, the hero.
Here comes Granlund taking the handoff from CC, skating the center. Oh, crossed the line, just barely onside. Celebrini moving in, shooting it. He scores! Celebrini is surrounded by a gaggle of Sharks men in teal as a kid from Vancouver, BC, by way of the Junior Sharks, gets the game winner in overtime on a pass from Mikhail Granlund. Sharks 5, Red Wings 4, and SAP Center is in a state of ecstasy.
I mean, I love when we win, so, I mean, to get put in that situation, You want to come through for your team, especially after a couple of misses in the shootout and stuff. So to get that goal, it's good for the group.
I love that Macklin is thinking about the shootout games where he didn't get a goal. Not that he should be haunted by those or anything, but you've got to look for different motivations, right? Like, you've got to figure out different things that are going to give you that little bit of extra something to try and be great in those big moments. And, you know, he's talked about previously not being interested in his exploits when the Sharks get a loss as the result. And this is the first time he's scored goals in a Sharks win. scored a goal, I should say. So this is the first time that's happened for him because, you know, game one, that was a loss against, you know, St. Louis. And then his two-goal game came in a loss to Minnesota. And now this is one where he can feel good about his exploit, his moment, as the Sharks do earn a big 5-4 overtime win. He also spoke about his line mates.
It kind of speaks to the players that those guys are. They're smart, very skilled, and I mean, they know how to play hockey, and there's a reason that they're both in the NHL doing it at such a high level. So it's fun to play with them, and it's fun to make plays with them.
Macklin was also asked about where he thinks the team is at this point.
I mean, obviously there's some games that we want back, and some situations where we could have capitalized a little bit better, and we haven't played perfect hockey at all, but I think the vibe's good in the room. We're getting points. We're playing really well against some really good teams, and getting points out, battling hard, competing, and I mean, that's a great team over there, and we just won, so I mean, we just got to keep it going. I think Coach said it best before the game. He said, just focus on the day, and I mean, that's what you got to do. You can't focus too far ahead because that's where you get into trouble. But I think we've done a great job of just period by period, shift by shift, playing the right way. And you're never going to be perfect, but I feel like we've done a good job of it.
Head coach Ryan Warsofsky on what he's seen from Macklin at this point.
Yeah, he's done some really good things, and he's obviously got an elite skill set. He wants the puck. He demands the puck on the ice. So we had a feeling he was going to drive us in a certain way, and himself in a certain way. He's done some really good things. I know there's some things he needs to continue to improve on, but for him to get rewarded tonight after getting some really good looks in the third period is nice to see.
Orzo also talked about the Lund line and what he's seen from them and their production.
Yeah, Ecky's been really good. He's putting together now. That line's been good. Good chemistry. And you can see they know where each other are in the offensive zone. They're doing some really good things. And I think Granny has really taken both those guys under his wing and helped them become really true pros now and take that next step.
And I think we often maybe overlook the idea of the veteran influence on younger players, but when we see Mikael Granlund with William Eklund and Fabian Zetterlund, and you see them all perform at such a high level, Mikael Granlund also kind of paves the way for them to see how you go about your business in the NHL. I think that's very much an exciting thing to see from Mikael Granlund. It's exciting to see from Fabian Zetterlund and William Eklund, and you see what they're trying to get out of these veterans. It's not just about finding a guy who can come in and, you know, be a good pro. It's also about fostering the development of other players. In that Lund line, it speaks for itself. The results are there over and over and over. And I know a lot of people have said, you know, what are the Sharks going to do with a Mikael Granlund at the deadline? You know, I keep on feeling like he likes it here, and that would be good money and well spent by the San Jose Sharks to try and bring him and keep him back. You know, like that's the type of thing where it's like, you know, you have a good fit, you know, you have something good going on. You have to spend money. Obviously the Sharks have plenty of cap space. It's not something I would like to see broken up before it has to be. Orzo also talked about what he liked from the Sharks game in the third period.
Yeah, we just, you know, we were hunting down pucks. We were making smart decisions with the puck through the neutral zone. We were getting on top of them in the offensive zone and suffocating them. And, you know, we were creating some offense and not letting them change, and which we've seen come to us a little bit here in the first 20 games of the season. And, you know, we were on the attack. We were attacking with the puck. We were moving without the puck. You know, all the things that we've really talked about since the, you know, started training camp, and I was starting to see our identity a little bit.
And I love that we're getting more of the idea of what the identity of the San Jose Sharks is, because when you're talking about your identity and what you're trying to create and it's in the midst of losses, it's harder for the fan base to see it. It's harder for the media to see it. It's harder for everyone to try and identify what the coach is talking about. But when you win, when there are the results that you desire that are yielded from what your attempts to establish your identity are, you get a little bit more of clues of what the coach is going on. And, you know, we're watching the Sharks be a hardworking team. We're watching them respond to adversity. We see that fourth line with Cunnan and Kostin and Grunstrom performing at a very high level, and they're impacting the game. And then you see, you know, the balance that's out there with the Delandria and a Wenberg and Toffoli. That's, you know, it's great to see. And then you counterbalance that with the Lund line and then the youth line with a touch of veteran from Barclay Goodrow. You've got balance, you've got skill, you've got desire, you've got grit. You've got the hallmarks of what we would apply to a winning team in the NHL. Now, the Sharks are not there yet, but again, you're starting to see the essence of that identity that they're trying to foster, what they're trying to create here in San Jose. And for the time being, it is a whole lot of fun. All right, we are just about out of time. I will see you on Wednesday as we get ready for the San Jose Sharks to take on the Dallas Stars. For San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.